by no one's demand but our own, and from our home office here in the Gulch in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. It is the 615 Sessions, brought to you by A to Z Sports and A to Z Sports Nashville.com. Buck Rising here with you. Happy to be here with you on this Thursday as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend. OTAs underway at St. Thomas Sports Park. And in honor of that, we will have Titans wide receiver Corey Davis on today's program. That'll be our lone interview. We're going to talk about mentoring A.J. Brown, Game of Thrones, movies, because I've been told that he's a little bit of a cinephile. So we look forward to chatting with Corey later on in the program. We're also going to talk about my behavior on Twitter lately, which sounds awfully self-involved. But if you've been listening to this long enough, you know that I'm self-involved. And a lot of you have been loud about how I've been acting on Twitter in regards to something that I did today, which was needlessly sideswipe somebody who probably didn't deserve it. But I have a rationalization for the bad behavior. And he pissed me off. So if I can rationalize the bad behavior, that makes it okay, right? I think so. I don't know. You be the judge. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But first, Titans wide receiver, Corey Davis. Back here on the 615 Sessions, A to Z Sports, A to Z Sports Nashville.com. Buck Rising here with you. Very excited to have Corey Davis, Titans wide receiver, on the line. My man, how we living?
Yes, sir. I'm living nice. How you doing?
Doing okay. Everybody's back in the building over there at St. Thomas Sports Park. OTAs are underway. Marcus and Tannehill are out there throwing for us vultures to take pictures of and videos of so we can get clicks.
No doubt.
Is there anything better, though, on social media right now, Corey, than Stephen A. Smith rants with the baby face Snapchat filter? Be honest with me.
That was hilarious.
I'm telling you,
that's one of the funniest things I've seen all week.
I have not stopped watching the Lamar Odom rant where he's talking about who was on crack. I'm not even going to try and do the who was on crack thing because I can't be Stephen A. Nobody's as good. But I'm telling you, it has.
Doing it with the filter.
Oh my God, it has consumed so many useless minutes of my life that I'm not going to get back. Do you watch any of those debate shows?
Not really, honestly.
Yeah.
If anything, I watch a little bit of Shannon Sharp, watch him in Undisputed, but not much, though, you know.
I think Fox kind of stumbled into an unintentional star with Shannon because there is,
yeah.
I mean, he is unbelievable. Nobody's doing that on television. I love the stuff, Corey, that just causes chaos and different, you know, it's just different. Shannon Sharp is different on TV, and to see him up there, he's up there with a Hennessy bottle. He's got a Black and Mild in his mouth. He's Uncle Shannon. He's the best.
Right. I'm like, man, this dude is hilarious. I'm watching him a little bit.
No question. I've got a few football questions for you at some point, Corey. But speaking of viral things on social media, your favorite TV show and mine, Game of Thrones, season finale last Sunday. Give me your full evaluation of episode 6. The way it ended, I'm still kind of shook.
It was. I mean, I did not know it was going to end like that. Honestly, it kind of threw me off a little bit because I just feel like there was a lot more that could have been done. And honestly, overall, the entire season was like they kind of rushed it.
So you felt like they did rush it?
Yeah, I felt like they rushed it. I mean, it was only six episodes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, it was 6 episodes, but I mean, I still liked it. You know, it's still my favorite show, but I just feel like they kind of rushed it a little bit.
Oh, no. I mean, it totally changed the way that I consume TV, Corey, and it ruined me for everything else because nobody else has. I mean, and people can make fun of the wolves and the dragons and stuff like that, but the CG, I mean, that's a full feature-length film that we were watching.
Oh, no doubt.
Every Sunday, and I appreciate the artistry in it. But I'm sitting there, and spoiler alert, we're gonna ruin the ending of Game of Thrones here real quick. I'm sitting there looking at Bran up there on the throne, or not on the throne, I guess, in the wheelchair, King of the Seven, or King of the Six Kingdoms, because the North isn't a part of it anymore.
Right. Yeah,
and I am so pissed off, Corey, at how that ended, because literally everybody had a better story than Bran. Every scene that showed Bran just kind of irritated me. And that's the guy that wins at the end? Like, I'm not down for that.
It's crazy. I mean, it's, I don't know. The show is real, real unpredictable. That's kind of one of the things I really like about it. You never know what's going to happen next. You never know who's going to die next or whatever it is. But Bran on the throne, that threw me off. I felt like it was. And John, like, his whole story behind him being a Targaryen is, like, for no reason.
Right. It was never addressed, right? That goes back to the whole rushing thing. Like, your boy just jumps on a dragon and nobody says anything about it. And he's flying around killing people. And this is just something like, we're going to turn the page and be over it.
Exactly. I mean, but overall, I love the series, love the show. It's still my favorite. I might rewatch it.
I mean, it's kind of gross, and it probably speaks to my lack of productivity. But I've seen at least the first six seasons three times through. Like, it's honest to God, an addiction for me.
Me too. And every time you watch it over, you you catch something that you've never seen before.
Oh yeah, I mean the detail on
so much stuff.
The detail on it was incredible. Would you though, Corey, sign the petition to get it remade, the final season?
I don't think I would. I feel like that's kind of disrespectful to the entire show. Like you said, I mean, you got to respect the art of everything, and just sign the petition is kind of disrespectful to the whole show.
The actress that plays Sansa said the same thing, and I appreciate that the fans felt passionate enough about it to be like, hey, no, mother bleeper, you're going to come out here and you're going to remake this $50 million an episode show or whatever the budget was, because I wasn't happy with the ending.
Right. They put a lot of work into that. They put a lot of work into that.
Oh, no.
You got to appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Truly, I do. And I'm sad to see it go. Do you have anything queued up? Like, is there anything that you're getting ready to binge or something that you're in the process of watching
now? Actually, I don't. I'm trying to find a new show. Me and my girl started this show called Society on Netflix. It's pretty good. I'm on the fourth episode. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Lay out the plot for me. Give me a.
It's like the. So there's a group of teenagers, like high school teenagers, maybe 200. They went on a field trip out of town, and they're all rich. They all got money, and they fell asleep on the bus. And then I guess something happened where they had to come back. Like, the field trip got canceled. They came back to their town and everyone was gone. Like, it was just them. Their parents were gone. They have no cell service. They can't dial 911. And there's this odd smell. And they still don't know what's going on. So it's kind of like they have to ration their food. They have to find out who the leader is going to be and a whole bunch of stuff. But I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm going to keep watching and see how it goes.
It sounds like they just ripped off the story from... Do you ever read Lord of the Flies?
Lord of the Flies, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's really what it is.
I mean, I'm sure the odd smell is a dead body. Spoiler alert. I have no idea. I've never seen Society.
Probably is. That's what I thought.
But I'll check it out. It's on Netflix, Society. Okay. Yeah. In all seriousness, though, I got to get one football question or my bosses are going to try and fire me. I had Harry Douglas on last week. I love Harry. I know Harry's somebody who you're particularly close with. All of the young guys that were here when Harry was here. And I know that you guys stay in contact. And I was talking to Harry a little bit about, what kind of advice that he was giving you guys now that, I mean, you're officially a veteran, right? Like, you're going to be up on the podium. You don't have to deal with us in the scrum anymore. You can take questions as you like. But what was the advice that Harry gave you heading into this year, now that you're the veteran wide receiver mentoring a young guy?
Harry's my guy. You know, he's someone I look up to tremendously.
Harry's a real one, man.
He's a real dude. And I love that dude. He's like a brother to me. Honestly, overall, he just told me how to be a pro. You know, as soon as I got here, he was a guy that I kind of leaned on and, I kind of went to for advice. And he knows, I mean, obviously he's been in the game for a long time. He knows how to go about his business. So he taught me literally everything from how to take notes to how to conversate with the QB, how to conversate with coaches, and, how to handle yourself off the field. And he really took me under his wing, and I can speak for all these younger guys too. Taewon, he taught us a lot, and I can't really thank him enough. And to this day, he's still
he's still the guy that I call, you know, him or my brother. He's still the guy that I call when I need advice or, you know, when I'm struggling with something on or off the field. You know, he's always going to be there. He's always going to answer the phone. And, you know, that's my guy, no doubt.
Yeah, I miss his sense of humor. Like, Lawan's funny, but I miss Harry's sense of humor in there dearly. I'm sure in the meeting rooms it is the same way. Last one for you on the way out the door. A.J. Brown at the rookie premiere. He's got the Dolce & Gabbana shades. He's got the gold chains. He's got the blue blue uni. Scale of 1 to 10, rate the drip.
Oh, the drip was severe.
The severe. Okay.
Oh yeah. I like the look. He looked like Dino Brown. He had the shades, the chain. I liked it.
I'm telling you, I got
that he's got bringing to the table. No doubt.
You know, I know I'm supposed to be objective as a media member. Like I'm not a Titans fan, but I saw that picture. Right. I saw that picture of him swagging out amongst all the scared looking rookies, and I'm like, all right, this is the guy. I appreciate this man.
Yeah, he's just being himself. That's what I respect about him. I like that.
He is Corey Davis, Titans wide receiver. You can follow my man on Twitter at DCDavis84. Corey, I appreciate you taking some time, dude.
You're good, man. I appreciate you.
No problem. Okay. Corey Davis, fun stuff. Didn't get as much time with him as I'd like, but hopefully we were accommodating enough with the schedule that your boy will feel the need to come back and do a little more pop culture talk. I've got a lot more questions. I want to talk to him about growing up in Chicago. He's an interesting guy, your wide receiver one for the Tennessee Titans, and I want to get to know him a little better, and hopefully he will allow us to get to know him a little better here on the 615 Sessions. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about my behavior on Twitter because it has been poor and it's going to get super involved. Stick around. It'll be fun right here on the 615 Sessions, brought to you by A to Z Sports and AtoZSportsNashville.com. Okay, back here, 615 Sessions, Buck Rising here with you. I enjoyed the hell out of the Corey Davis interview. I did not get nearly enough time with him. I hope that he did not hate that and did not think that we were wasting his time with the silliness of my questions. But like that, I want these guys to have fun when they come on. And if I invite them as a guest to be on my show, I'm not, I guess for context, I'm not here to talk about football with them on the 615 Sessions. I do enough of that at practice, and if I need to talk about what happened in game situations and in practice situations and then relay that information to you, I'm 100% happy to do that. But within the context of them being guests on the show, I want them to have fun because I think they're better for you guys as the audience. My duty is to you all as the audience when they're having fun. So I didn't want to ask him about Arthur Smith and Marcus Mariota. And did you think Tannehill's passes had more zip on them than Marcus's did, because you know, that's not what we're here to do. That's what practice is for. That's what the locker room is for. And then that is the time that we will relay that kind of information to you. But some of you would consider my methods soft, quote unquote, according to Tress Wynn on Twitter. So this is the conversation that I've been waiting to have, the self-involved conversation that I've been waiting to have. And this is a result of something that the Midday 180, it seems a lot. Paul Kaharsky texted me the other day and said this, I basically should just call this show the Midday 180 wrap-up show, but because content feeds other content, I saw a Midday 180 poll on Twitter from, that would be yesterday, so that's Wednesday when the Midday 180 tweeted that out. At Midday 180 is where you can follow the boys over on 104.5 The Zone, 10 to 2 weekdays. So, poll for a future topic. Do you consider Nashville sports media in general to be soft? Now, based on, there's about 5 hours left in the poll, just under 2,000 votes. 67% of the audience, based on that poll, believes that we, the Nashville media, are soft. Then, Tress Wynn, who is a high school buddy of Austin Stanley's, and he is the creator of chat10sports.com, the host of One-on-One with Tress Wynn, is his podcast. Tress is somebody who lives in Chattanooga, who knows Austin, and who seems interested in Titans media, Nashville sports media, from a distance, from Chattanooga. And so Tress quote tweeted the Midday 180's poll and said, "Not naming names, but I had a Titans media member tell me to stop tweeting with Titans players because it runs the risk of pissing them off. That's just bad grammar on the part of Tress. Runs the risk of pissing them off, I'm paraphrasing to make up for the poor grammar, and making his job harder. Guess which I voted for." Tress is referring to me. Tress is somebody who I follow because I don't know Tress. I met him, I believe, briefly at the F-Words pod meetup when they did the draft show from Corner Pub. Tress was there because a bunch of people came in town for the draft. And Tress is somebody like the F-Words guys who's a Titans fan and wants to get into media. And good on him. I have to preface this by saying that I respect anybody who is trying to do their own thing on their own to try and get into this business, because it's really, really goddamn hard, guys, to break into sports media, especially in a market as small as Nashville, where there's not as many media outlets to be a part of. Now, Tress is in Chattanooga, so that kind of disqualifies him. Anyway, but he's somebody who's interested in it, and I don't want this to feel like I'm beating up on a guy who's trying to make a name for himself and do this. I totally respect that. What I do not respect is what Tress does on Twitter to draw attention to himself and to make himself part of the conversation. That is not something at all that I respect. So Tress is tweeting this. He's referencing me. I'm the media member who asked him to stop tweeting with Titans players because it's not as simple as that. He is alleging, based on that tweet, based on the way that I read his tweet, that I was telling him to stop tweeting all of the players because it runs the risk, quote, because it runs the risk of pissing them off and making his job harder, his being me, Buck Rising. And that's true, because what Tress was doing was he was agitating Darren Bates after rookie minicamp, the day that the Titans players and Coach Vrabel were made available to us. Paul Kaharsky asked about Darren Bates and his marijuana situation, because that was the first opportunity that we had to talk to Mike about it. That's the first time that we had the chance to get him on record with his statement about Bates's situation. Tress on Twitter is tweeting at Bates, saying, because people are tweeting, anytime Paul says anything about Bates, it's going to get noticed on Titans Twitter. We know this by now. This is an ongoing feud, and it's getting a little silly because nobody really cares, and it's not anything that's productive. But Tress was tweeting at Bates, and I should probably have had that tweet that he sent Bates in front of me. But Tress said it was a joke, but what Tress was doing was agitating Bates and, you know, causing problems where they didn't need to be, in my estimation. There are plenty of people who do this on Twitter. Tress is just somebody who I happen to follow because he's friends with Austin. And he's DM'd me before saying he's trying to get into this business. And again, good on him. I don't hold that against him by any means. This is not anything malicious. I drag people on Twitter for much, much less than I did to poor Tress. So Tress is saying, Tress is saying to Bates that, you know, don't you, and I'm paraphrasing here, so forgive me on that. But essentially he was saying, he says as a joke, but don't you think it's funny that Paul, and I don't remember if he tagged Paul or not, but Paul Kaharsky was asking Vrabel about you and your situation at rookie minicamp out of context. That pissed me off. That pissed me off in a big way, because Tress doesn't understand clearly how media works. As I stated before, that was our first opportunity to talk to Vrabel. That was the first opportunity that anybody from the Titans organization had made public comment about Darren Bates' situation. The fact that Paul was the one that asked it is a credit to Paul, because honest to God, I think the rest of us forgot, because it was about 3 weeks removed from the time that Terry McCormick of Titans Insider broke that story. The story stemmed from something that happened with Bates in February, and it just wasn't top of mind with everything that was going on with the rookies. So credit to Paul for remembering to ask the question. And then it became a situation where I'm just telling him, hey, knock it off. Darren Bates is going to see your Twitter. He's going to look at your Twitter. He's going to see that you're somebody who is saying that he covers, or not saying that he covers, that he is the creator of chat10sports.com, as I mentioned, and that chat10sports covers the Titans, the Braves, the Preds, the Vols, et cetera, et cetera. Darren Bates is not going to differentiate between you and me and Paul and whomever else is in the locker room on a regular basis, except the difference between Paul and I and, you know, Teresa Walker and Luke Worsham and whomever else you can name in Titans media. Darren Bates isn't going to differentiate between you and us. Darren Bates doesn't recognize that you're not in Nashville. Darren Bates doesn't recognize that you're not a part of the regular Titans media core. Darren Bates is going to make that into a contentious situation in the locker room, and it's going to make everybody's life harder when it doesn't need to be. This is irritating to me for a variety of reasons, and people can call me soft for this, and that's fine. I do my job differently than Paul Kaharsky does his job. Paul Kaharsky is excellent at his job. Paul breaks news. In fact, Paul's about the only news breaker outside of Jimmy who works for the team. Jimmy Wyatt works for the team. Paul's really good at that. Paul's been around. Paul's been with them since they moved from Houston. Paul has a lot more connections than a lot of us. For example, me, who landed here 3 years ago and was working overnights at a radio station and noticed that the radio station that I was working at didn't have anybody at Titans practice on a regular basis and didn't even have anybody at the press conference for the year that they had two first-round draft picks with Adoree Jackson and Corey Davis, and said, hey, don't you think it'd be a smart idea if we had somebody on a day-to-day basis to go cover practice? And that's how I landed, absolutely unqualified, in the Titans locker room 3 years ago and have learned on the job ever since. The locker room is a difficult place to navigate, as is. That is their sacred space. That is their safe space as players. I understand that that is not my place. I understand that I have 45 minutes to talk to these guys. I understand that it does not benefit me to pick fights with these guys, because there needs to be a productive working relationship between the media and the players. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be asking harder questions. It doesn't mean that we could not be harder, because I do believe that it is a softer media market. But to allege that I'm soft because I would prefer to listen, if I'm gonna rip a player's ass or a coach's ass on what was the radio when I was working in radio, or now in writing in print for A2ZSportsNashville.com and on the podcast, then I'm going to talk to the player or the coach beforehand in the locker room and say, hey, this is what I'm critical of. This is what I don't understand. Can you please help me understand what I'm supposed to be looking at before I make these judgments? That's a really difficult thing to do. It sucks to be in the locker room with Taylor Lewan, who's 6'7 and 300 pounds and wants to mother f*** you to your face because you've said something nasty about him on the radio. The point is, Taylor Lewan has the opportunity to get angry with me to my face, and that's the difference between Tress and I and Paul and whomever else. And like, so F-Words guys, right? F-Words pods, Music City Miracle, buddies of mine. They aren't in the locker room. They host a Titan-centric show. Mike Herndon does a really good job breaking down film. Mike isn't in the locker room. Those guys understand the relationship that we as the everyday media who have access to these guys need to have with these people in order to make sure that you all get the information and that it's not a players versus the media thing like it is in politics today, where you have people shouting fake news and making the media's life harder, and rightfully so, because there is a lot of fake news out there, but it doesn't need to be this needlessly contentious. My assertion was for Tress to knock it off, because if you're going to do that, and I'm going to have to see that, then I'm going to call you on it, and you're not going to get upset and then DM me afterwards and say, hey, why did you do that to me publicly when you shouldn't have been behaving poorly in the first place? It's unprofessional. If you're going to be somebody who wants to work in the media, you need to recognize that. I don't care if you're a fan site or not. I've desperately tried to break the F-Words guys of saying we about the Tennessee Titans, because they've never donned a Tennessee Titans uniform, nor do they play for the team or work for the team. But that's not a battle that I am willing to fight as this one, because this one is stupid. And so when I saw Tress didn't at me, and Tress said that he was not going to name names, I saw this because I follow Tress. And so my response to that was to get on Twitter this morning and sideswipe Tress in a way that probably wasn't necessary, but I did it because I'm tired of this crap. It's a bad look. I don't appreciate when people who aren't in this business, who are not yet in this business, I should say, again, respect for those who are trying to get in this business. It's not an easy thing to do. But when I saw Tress calling me soft and yet not willing to name names, as he said, I quote tweeted him and said, name names, no worries. Didn't tell you to stop tweeting, guys. I told you to stop instigating things like Bates and Paul when you're not in Nashville at practice or in the locker room ever to talk to them in person after you stir stuff up. If you're going to play media, be professional. That's what I said on Twitter. At Buck Rising is where you can follow me. At A to Z Sports is where you can follow my employer. It pissed me off. It's not necessary. It probably wasn't necessary for me to sideswipe Tress the way that I did. But if you're going to do this stuff, don't twist people's words. Don't make yourself part of the conversation because you're twisting words. Don't agitate football players who aren't going to differentiate between you, somebody who is trying to do this, and people who actually do this, and then make our jobs harder as a result. My approach is softer, yes, because I would prefer to have a conversation with the players before I go and form my opinions and relay those to you all based on the information that I have and the information that I receive in the locker room. Paul Kaharsky asks much tougher questions more regularly than I would say anybody. Paul would also tell you, I'm sure, publicly or privately, that Paul is probably regretful sometimes when he lets the things get out of his mouth that he does, or in the way that he asks questions, because Paul gets irritated and just kind of snaps. It does make Paul harder, I guess, than the rest of us, but a softer approach doesn't necessarily make people soft. I'm not out here looking for guys to give me information and to give me tidbits that help break news because I'm trying to be friends with them. These are not my friends. These are my coworkers. In essence, the players I'm sure would cringe at the idea that I just called them coworkers, but I spend more time around the Titans players and coaches than I do anybody in my life. I'm there every day. There has to be a productive working relationship. It does not need to be needlessly contentious. And you'll forgive me if I'm going to take people out, if I'm going to follow you on Twitter. And, I mean, maybe the solution is just to unfollow Tress, but I don't want to do that because that's, again, I respect what he's trying to do. I do not respect the way in which he's trying to do it. And that's all I wanted to say. That was wildly self-involved. Probably useless to the vast majority of you who don't care about what's going on in the Titans media, but some of you do like the inside baseball stuff, and so I thought I would just take the opportunity to explain it to you all, and then, rather than getting in some Twitter argument that I'm not going to win, because nobody wins arguments on Twitter, and I'm not trying to win an argument, because my point is right, I'm dealing with somebody who doesn't understand the day-to-day workings of the media and is making his own assertions because of it. That's totally fine. All I'm saying is, What Tajay Sharp said last year, stay your lane. That's all. And that's going to do it for us today here on the 615 Sessions. Many thanks to Corey Davis, Titans wide receiver, for stopping by and giving us some of his time. Thanks, of course, to our benevolent benefactors, Austin Stanley and Zach Bingham of A to Z Sports, Nashville's live on-demand sports talk show, weekdays 8 a.m., streaming on Facebook Live. And Periscope is where you can find the boys. Thanks to them for making the 615 Sessions possible. Thanks to you all who rate, review, and subscribe to the 615 Sessions wherever it is that you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed the Corey Davis interview, I promise you we have many more interviews that you will enjoy. If you are new to the program here, Rashawn Evans has been a guest, Kevin Byard has been a guest, Teron Davenport, Tiffany Blackman of the NFL Network, Mickey Ryan of 3HL, the list goes on and on and on and on, and it will continue to go on as long as I am sitting here as somebody who is legitimate media for the Tennessee Titans. That being said, I'm Buck Rising, reminding you to stay hot, Nashville. We'll talk to you Tuesday after Memorial Day, right here on the 615 Sessions, presented by A to Z Sports and A to Z Sports Nashville.com.